Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this fifth day of April 2021. And I'm so thrilled to have back on the program Dr. Carl R. Truman, esteemed church historian who previously served as the William E. Simon Fellow in Religion and Public Life at Princeton University, author or editor of more than a dozen books, including The Creedal Imperative, Luther on the Christian Life, and Histories and Fallacies, and currently professor of Biblical and Religious Studies at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. Today we are going to be addressing his brand new book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, Cultural Amnesia, Expressive Individualism, and the Road to Sexual Revolution. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Carl Truman.
It's great to be here, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. And I'm also thrilled to have joining me as a co-host for the first half hour while Dr. Truman is with us, and also transferring over to my guest for the remaining 90 minutes of the program we have today, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, who is pastor of Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. He's an author, a conference speaker, vice president of the board of directors for the Reform Forum, and article editors for the Confessional Presbyterian Journal. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to the program, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington.
Oh, it's always a privilege to join you.
And since,
glad to be here.
Amen. That's great to have you on all the time, brother. And I want to give our email address immediately, because Dr. Truman can only be on with us for the first 30 minutes of the program during previous scheduled appointments that he had. So if you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And before I even ask a question, I just want to read a really powerful endorsement for this book by my friend Rosaria Butterfield, who has been a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a number of times and has written a glowing endorsement for this radio program as well. But Rosaria Butterfield, who, by the way, if anybody listening is unfamiliar with her, she is a former lesbian and also a former leftist professor at Syracuse University. And she doesn't mind that description. She is very open about her left-wing fanaticism at one time before coming to Christ. But she says, this is a characteristically brilliant book by Carl Truman, helping the church understand why people believe that sexual difference is a matter of psychological choice. What was the most compelling factor that you saw happening around us today? Not only the things and the issues that challenge the body of Christ, but even things that are corrupting our world in general, that said that led you to the point that said, I've got to sit down and begin writing an answer to the rise and triumph of the modern self. What were the catalysts involved in that?
There are a number of things, some of them personal, but some of them more general relative to the church and the culture in which we find ourselves. I think above all, it was the speed of what I call in the book sexual revolution, the transformation of sexual practices, sexual mores, sexual identity that's taken place over the last 10 or 15 years that I noticed was, on the one hand, disturbing a lot of Christians, that they were finding that the speed of change to be incomprehensible, but also reshaping the thinking of a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians are being left confused as to what is the right and wrong position on these things. So that was the broader driving factor, and it really came to a head with, I think, when Bruce Jenner / Caitlyn Jenner came out as transgender in about 2015, and it became obvious that, that gay marriage, the battle that had been engaged in the culture for the previous decade, really, that gay marriage was not going to be the end of the revolution at this point, but in some sense, this was almost a sideshow, that the bigger issue was going to be transgender questions. So what motivated the book was an attempt to try to set these dramatic changes of the last decade or the last 15 years in some kind of broader historical context in order to allow conservative Christians, but conservative religious people in general, one might say. I've had some positive responses from some Jewish friends on the book, helping conservative-minded people understand what's been going on in the culture for a long time to bring us to this current rather bizarre and chaotic situation.
Yeah, one thing that fascinated me when I was broadcasting live out of New York years ago, from 2005 to 2010, actually, when I had addressed the issue, or should I say, most of the time, when I had addressed the issue of homosexuality with a guest who had written on the subject, or perhaps I was interviewing a former homosexual, or whatever the case may be, there was a listener on Long Island who would frequently call in when we actually had call-ins rather than email questions from the audience. A guest would call in who was a licensed professional psychiatrist who was openly identifying himself as a liberal in most things political, and yet he knew that there was something tragically wrong with homosexuality and something that was tragically dangerous about it to the human psyche and to humans in general. And he saw that there was a lot of dishonesty going on in the world in regard to this, including it being entirely removed from the psychiatric journals as a mental disorder. But so there are people even outside of our conservative Christian circles that are viewing this issue in quite a startled and disturbed way, aren't they?
Oh, yes, yes. And I think that particularly applies to the transgender question, which is tearing the left apart in many ways. I think in some ways transgenderism is proving to be more of a problem on the left than on the right. The right has its position. The right is not engaging in civil war over this. The left is tearing itself to pieces. One of the chapters of the book, I look at the transgender question relative to trends in modern feminism. You have the figure of Germaine Greer, who's taken in many ways a very courageous stance against the transgenderism that's been creeping into the radical feminism that she herself pioneered. Since the book came out, of course, we've had the infamous J.K. Rowling issue, and J.K. Rowling, bless her, has taken a pretty courageous stand. You know, she has the money, of course, to be able to sustain the flack that she's received for it. But what is fascinating about the current situation is that it's creating a civil war on the left. And who knows how that's going to play out. I don't think that particularly transgenderism is guaranteed a victory in this fight. It's going to be very interesting to watch.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating how sometimes things arise where the most conservative of evangelical Christians and even fundamentalists find themselves side by side with feminists on issues. In fact, it was pretty much For decades, we were in agreement on many things involving pornography, being mutually opposed to it. And now, the transgendered issues, where women are being stripped of their rights, ironically. And even you have people who identify themselves as homosexuals being opposed to much of the transgender movement's activism, aren't they?
Oh, yes. I mean, I joke to friends that, you know you're getting old when Jermaine Greer is suddenly a good a goodie, not a baddie, so to speak. But you're absolutely correct. I mean, Andrew Sullivan has, a very thoughtful but openly gay journalist, has made the point that just because he is not sexually attracted towards women who identify as men doesn't make him, you know, transphobic. The idea that, traditional homosexuality, if you like, is predicated on a bodily distinction between the sexes. So it's also proving to be something of an issue in the gay world. And a year or two ago, I had the privilege of interviewing on my own podcast a couple of women, one of whom was a very conservative Roman Catholic, and the other one was a radical feminist who'd lost her job at a feminist magazine for saying that men who identify as women are not real women. And it was a strange, counterintuitive experience to be talking to somebody with whom I would disagree, I think, about just about everything except for this one particular issue. So it's a fascinating cultural moment when the old distinctions of left and right, I won't say they're completely breaking down, but there are some very significant realignments taking place politically as identity politics is moving to the center of the public square and the political drama.
So you would actually describe what's going on as a revolution, I know. Can you tell us something about the architecture of the revolution?
Yeah, by revolution, I think what we need to understand, what Christians need to understand, is that the sexual revolution of the 60s onwards is not simply a question of an expansion of what is and is not acceptable sexual behavior. And in the book, I use the example of modesty. You know, we're all familiar with debates about modesty, even within the church. And typically, if you're debating modesty in the church, you're debating the limit of a concept you already agree on. And it comes down to, I hate to sound sort of sexist when I say this, but in my experience, debates about modesty tended to come down to how women should be dressed. What's the acceptable length of a skirt, for example? Are bikinis acceptable, or should we wear one-piece bathing costumes? It's debates about the limits of a concept. It's interesting when you think today about modesty. Modesty is, as an idea, is now inherently ridiculous. Nobody debates modesty anymore. The idea of debating modesty would identify you as being a kind of fuddy-duddy reactionary in some way. In microcosm is the nature of the sexual revolution. And the sexual revolution is not about saying, well, okay, once upon a time, the limits of sexual behavior were this, but now we're going to expand them to include that as well. In actual fact, the sexual revolution is about saying that any kind of sexual morality, any kind of view of sex that gives an intrinsic moral significance to sexual activity is ridiculous, that the morality of sexual activity is now determined entirely by whether it's between consenting parties or not. So the sexual revolution really is about, you know, the overthrow, I would say, of the old sexual morality, of the old sexual regime. And it's been a long time in coming. Its roots lie deep in history. Its roots lie very much in the prioritizing and the authorizing of our inner feelings as being fundamental to who we are. We see that really gaining pace in the 18th century with the French philosopher Jean-Jacques Rousseau and the cultural movement of Romanticism that flowed from him. In the 19th century, we see major assaults on the idea that human nature has an intrinsic moral shape. The assault comes in different forms. Karl Marx attacks it from a kind of Hegelian position where human nature changes over time. Nietzsche just gets rid of the whole metaphysics of human nature in its entirety. Darwin shatters any notion that human beings are made in the image of God by reducing us to an exalted ape. And then in the late 19th, early 20th century, Freud enters the scene, and Freud says, well, yeah, our inner desires are what define our person. And those inner desires are fundamentally sexual. And with Freud, we have sex being transformed from something that's primarily an activity into something that is an identity. Once you make something fundamental to our identity, it's only a matter of time before it becomes political. Because laws about sexual activity are effectively laws about who you are allowed to be by society. So it's a long story, but it culminates in the revolution of the 1960s and beyond, the effects of which we are still working out at the moment.
And I know that Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington loved your book. And I know he's chomping at the bit to ask a question, so especially since Dr. Truman can only be on with us for 30 minutes, why don't you ask what's on your mind before we run out of time?
Yeah, Carl, excellent book. Very, I would say, synthetic, drawing various threads together into a tapestry that really makes sense of our current world that we live in. You already made reference, of course, to many of the thinkers who've influenced our world. Even if people haven't read them, the ideas have percolated down into our culture. One of those changes would be almost, I guess, someone might refer to it as a Gnostic development, Gnostic-like development, where emotivism or emotions become, or our psychological state becomes key to this whole drama. Can you, give us some broad strokes of that issue?
Yeah, and I think you bring your finger on the key issue there, Jeff, and that is that authorization of that inner space, that psychological dimension of identity. And of course, it's very problematic to make that move. And in some ways, it's captured in a nutshell by Rousseau's statement in The Social Contract that man is born free, and everywhere he is in chain. And as soon as you have the idea that human beings are we are fundamentally autonomous, then really you are prioritizing our independent psychology at that point, and you're making everybody else, first and foremost, a potential threat to our happiness. When you think about that statement, though, it's self-evidently nonsense. Man is not born free. I don't know your parents. I mean, I know you, Jeff, but I don't know your parents, but I'm pretty sure that when you were born, they didn't abandon you in the woods somewhere on the grounds that you were born free.
That was not the case, yes.
I'm pretty sure, too. Your parents cared for you.
They might have wished that they had done that, but that's another story.
I don't doubt that either, Jeff, but it's a sign of their godliness that they persevered with you.
Well, I have seen Jeff kill and eat a squirrel with his bare hands, so just
I can believe it. But the very fact that you are dependent upon your parents, I think that tells us two things. One, it tells us that you're more than just your feelings. Who you are is, to some extent, who you're connected to. You're the son of your parents. But secondly, it also tells us you're a body. Human beings are born with bodies. Our bodies are not things that we inhabit like we inhabit a house or a suit of clothes. Our bodies are actually who we are in a deep, profound way. And being that we're bodies also means, to go back to the first point I made, it means that who we are is we are those who are dependent upon others for our existence. And our whole lives are spent in varying degrees of dependency. We start off highly dependent. We become more independent as we grow, and then if we live long enough, we become highly dependent on others again. So I would want to say that, Jeff, you put your finger on it, this psychologizing is absolutely central to the story we tell ourselves today. And transgenderism in some ways is the supreme example of that. There's a transgender person saying, my body is not me. My feelings are me. And I want to respond and say, no, you're making a fundamental category mistake at the very beginning there, that you are separating who you are from your body. And, you know, we're all Christians on this program. And one of the distinctives of being a Christian is we believe in the resurrection. Why do we believe in the resurrection?
Amen.
Well, we're bodies. And salvation, our salvation is not truly complete until the day of resurrection. I know Jeff's not a huge Aquinas fan, but Thomas Aquinas makes this point that when you die and go to heaven, you're in the presence of God, but it isn't actually fully you until your body is resurrected and rejoined to your soul. And I think that's a good point that as Christians we need to hold on to. We are bodies, and that, you know, move to kind of theological response to this psychologized person, that we need to emphasize from our pulpits and in our teaching that you are your body. You are your body, and your body will be resurrected. And that means this myth we tell ourselves about just being a collection of feelings and emotions, it is a myth, and it's actually incapable of accounting for daily experience of reality, let alone the biblical teaching on the issue.
We have a listener who happens to be a dear friend of mine dating back to the 1980s. Her name is Dr. Latane C. Scott. She is an author herself. And I've been pleased and blessed to have her as actually a guest on my program a number of times. And she has written, among her many books, she has co-authored Talking with Teens About Sexuality and Protecting Your Child from Predators. She co-authored those with Dr. Beth Robinson. And she was so excited that you were going to be on the program today, and she has submitted two questions for you. Dr. Latane C. Scott says, I know that Carl and Rod Dreher are colleagues. I greatly admire the thinking of both, and I thank you, dear friend Chris, for having Carl on your show. I would like to hear Carl's thoughts about the mechanics of forming a dissident body or bodies of believers. That's our first question.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and I actually endorsed Rod's book, The Benedict Option. I have great sympathies for his take. I do think Rod has been misread. The title Benedict Option is a brilliant sales ploy. I wish I'd come up with a title as snappy as that, but also naturally inclined people to read in a kind of monastic way. I think that is a misreading of Rod, but if I'm just going to offer my own thoughts at this point that I think are consistent with his, I do think it's very difficult for Christians, impossible for us to withdraw from the culture around us. When I was a pastor, I had people in my congregation with mortgages, with student loans, needed health care. We are integrated into the culture in which we find ourselves. So running up a hill and forming an isolated community is going to be impossible. But having said that, I think the church does need to think very self-consciously, very proactively, about being a community. If the thesis, one of the basic theses of my book is correct, that identity is formed by communities, and our strongest identity is formed by the strongest community to which we belong, then the church must be the strongest community to which we belong. That might look different in Western Pennsylvania, to New York, to Philadelphia, to Hong Kong, to London. I'm not sure there's a one-size-fits-all here. But I think a community marked by individuals who look after each other, who engage in hospitality with each other, who have each other's back, to use the sort of slang phrase, that I think is going to be critically important as we come into the future. I think we need to teach the whole counsel of God. Pastors need to be careful not to assume that the world is teaching anything that is consistent with the Christian faith these days. I think when I grew up, the broad ethics of the world kind of aligned with the biblical ethic, even though the Bible had long since died in English culture. But we can no longer make that assumption. So I think very proactive teaching, community, and self-discipline is going to be very, very important in this country. content.
And Dr. Scott also says that she was reading Chapter 2 of the Gulag Archipelago and how the Russian government efficiently shut down all dissidents. Given that surveillance has gone far beyond 100 years ago and is now an advanced art in the 21st century world, how can we expect that dissident Christians can survive?
It's fair, and that's a very interesting question, because in part, I think what's emerging over the last two or three years is that, you know, I don't think the biggest immediate threat comes from the government. I think it comes from big tech and large corporations. And that's, it's going to be very tricky how we address that. I do think some level of caution with what we do online is important. I've heard it said, you know, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product. We all give away an awful lot of personal information online. But I do think that, I also think that alternative means of communicating, alternative means of education, finding whatever is the equivalent of the old thermostat presses in our internet age will be important. It's going to be interesting to see how things develop in the future. We've seen how easily, for example, with the Parley app, how easy big tech shut down dissident operations. So I'm not sure I have an answer, but I do think we need to be thinking very, very proactively about how to do that at this particular point in time.
Well, thank you for your excellent questions, Latane, and please give me your full mailing address in Albuquerque, New Mexico, because you have just won a free copy of The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self. Compliments to our friends, or of our friends, I should say, at Crossway, and also compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will be actually shipping that book out to you once we have your full mailing address. We have, I believe, a first-time questioner, but I'm not 100% sure. Johnny in Ocala, Florida. Johnny asks, now this is a question that could get you and Jeff in a lot of trouble, but I'll have you both answer it. Has the Orthodox Presbyterian Church been infiltrated with any of the sexual identity issues? I guess what he means by that is people affirming the LGBTQ community's definitions and so on, and instructions and dictates. I'm assuming that's what he means. But I'll start with you, Dr. Truman. Care to answer that?
I'm not aware of that. Now, Jeff is probably more in touch with what's going on on the ground of the OPC than I am. I mean, to me, the Revoice conference that has created such ripples in the PDA, I'm not aware of it generating anything like that discussion within the OPC. Now, I don't do much online. I don't do Facebook, etc., so I don't know what goes on in Facebook discussions. But I'm sure the OPC, we have our problems, but mercifully, at this point in time, I don't think that's one of them. Not that that should be any ground for complacency, but my heart bleeds for my friends in the PCA who are having to address much more of this stuff. It seems to me. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, I was going to say the same thing. I would imagine that the pastors in the OPC may be dealing with this issue on a pastoral level, you know, with if not with the members who are you know, claiming to be transgendered. They may have family members or friends who are. You know that the percentage of young people, teenagers, who have claimed to be transgendered, of course, has risen, I would say, I guess, dramatically. And I was expecting that to happen simply because it becomes the chic thing, the popular thing to be transgendered. We haven't brought up the issue yet, but one of the things that Carl deals with in the book is the victim, the rise of victims in our culture, and how that, minorities in this victim sense, that lesbians and gays, and then of course now transgender, LGBTQ+, is the shorthand. that movement does build off of the idea of victimhood, that they've been oppressed. Now, again, remember that oppression, as Carl has finally lined out in the book, doesn't have to take a physical form, deprivation of property or being locked up in a prison, per se. It can be the oppression of a person's psyche, their emotions. And that's, of course, also what we see on college and university campuses around the world, especially here in the United States. So I don't think in the OPC we'll be free of these things. I'm just not aware of anything, and I couldn't point to a particular case and say, you know, we're dealing with it. But I would imagine, given that it's such a force in the culture and within sister denominations like the PCA, that these issues we will be facing them squarely.
Now, Johnny has a question for Dr. Truman, a second question that I think is an inside joke, perhaps. But he says, Dr. Truman, have you ever had a student that was as culturally hip, H-I-P, as Charles Williams?
No, Charles was an outstanding hipster. Jeff knows him, so he, yep. Yeah, Charles was an outstanding hipster. Maybe the coolest man I've ever met. After Jeff, that is.
Well, Johnny in Ocala, Florida, give me your full mailing address because you have also won a free copy of The Rise and Triumph of Modern Self. Compliments of Crossway and CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Make sure we have your full mailing address in Ocala, Florida. And if you are a first-time questioner, you'll also get a free New American Standard Bible as well. So make sure that you give us your mailing address. Jeff, I know that Dr. Truman has to leave shortly, so I'll give you the honors of asking him a final question.
Wow, okay. I know what I was thinking at the end of the book. Carl, are you anticipating doing a follow-up volume, or is this what, you know, you've said your piece on this?
There's two sort of follow-ups, actually. One, I'm just in the next month putting the final touches to a much shorter book that covers similar territory, that I'm hoping will prove more useful to pastors, youth workers, people who don't have time to read 400 pages. I felt I needed to do the footnoted version first, but there's going to be a more user-friendly, digestible version coming out hopefully next February. The other project I've taken on, actually, this is for Broadman and Holman. They want a book on the origins of critical theory, which will not quite be a sequel to this. But I want to expand the critical theory section, not specifically to get at critical race theory, for example, but I want to set the broad context, historical context, for the rising post-colonial and critical race theory issues that are also challenging the church at this point. So there's going to be not exactly a sequel, but a kind of parallel volume.
Thank you, Dr. Truman, for an excellent contribution to our program today. Do you have, in a minute or so, before you leave, any summary of what you want most etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today?
I think a couple of things. One, I'd want people to realize, you know, what's happening, what's being played out in front of our eyes is the result of long-standing historical changes. So, and I think it's important to grasp that and to realize there's no quick fix here. It's not a question of getting the right man elected to Congress, or with the right person on the Supreme Court. All of those things might be good things, but the deeper changes are going to take a lot longer in terms of time than around. Secondly, to say that's not a cause for despair, and I think there are two real grounds for hope at this point. One is that marginal communities tend to become strong communities and tend to make a comeback. And in a sense, the story of the LGBTQ movement is the story of a marginal community that became a strong community and is now in a very powerful position within the culture. So I think the church should see its coming marginality as a real opportunity for being the church and for being what it should be. And then the second ground for hope, of course, is the obvious one. We have the promises. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. We know how history ends. The church is going to win. There is going to be the marriage feast of the Lamb and the Lamb's bride. That may not mean that the Orthodox Presbyterian Church makes it to the end of time. It may not mean that the United States as a nation makes it to the end of time. God doesn't need any of these things. The promise is to the church in general. And that promise is still good. It doesn't matter how many transgender people get elected to Congress, for example. The promise of God is still good. So I would say this is, it's a time for lamentation, but it's not a time for despair. It's a time for regrouping and for refocusing on the great promises.
Amen. Well, Dr. Truman, I hope that you could come back as a guest soon and often on the program, and hopefully next time for a longer portion of the two-hour show.
It's been a pleasure to be on, Chris and Jeff. Thanks very much for your time.
Amen.
Thank
well, God
you.
Bless you, brother. And we are going to be continuing this subject with our co-host, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington. And if anybody else wants to join Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington with a question on this subject that we are continuing for the remaining 90 minutes, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, So don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
Welcome back. This is Chris Sorensen. If you just tuned us in, we were privileged with the presence of Dr. Carl Truman on our program for the first half hour to discuss his new book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, Cultural Amnesia, Expressive Individualism, and the Road to Sexual Revolution. And we are continuing that subject with a mutual friend of Dr. Truman's and mine, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, who has been a guest on this program many times. He is going to continue the same theme, having read the book, being thoroughly acquainted with it, and approving of Dr. Truman's message in the book very highly. If you have a question of your own that you'd like to join us on the air with, give us an email or send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give his first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Dr. Waddington, this issue, unfortunately, as was hinted at by a listener question, although he was incorrect about any apprehension, as far as your knowledge or Dr. Truman's knowledge about the LGBTQ agenda having been infiltrated as of this point into the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and I'm sure what he was referring to was actually in the leadership amongst those who are preachers and teachers and those that have a realm of authority there. And thankfully, you both were unaware of that. But it is, as Dr. Truman just mentioned before he left, it has seeped into to quite a significant degree in the Presbyterian Church in America, the PCA. And, of course, we have to be quick to remind our listeners that there are many, many fine, outstanding pastors and Christians in the PCA, so we cannot indict the entire denomination for this. But what would you say are some of the most dangerous aspects of this whole mindset that are being endorsed by otherwise conservative Bible-believing Christians, even Reformed Christians who believe in biblical inerrancy and agree with us on many things, but on this issue they're putting their own spin on it? What would you say some of those issues and approaches to those issues are?
Well, while it doesn't play a central role in Carl's book, he did indicate that he's working on one to come out in the future on critical theory. And it's interesting how all these things seem to be converging upon us all at one time, right? So the LGBTQ plus community and its political clout, the critical theory and race relations, and critical theory is not just critical race theory, it's critical theory, critical law theory, etc. The whole, and it's all coming through the lens of Karl Marx, Antonio Gramsci, the Italian communist who was imprisoned by Benito Mussolini in Italy back in the 30s, 20s and 30s. These are all, as I said, might appear to be arcane ideas are filtering down. So, you know, sooner or later, a pastor or a Christian is going to have to face these issues. You know, like the cake baking issue, the taking photographs at weddings, these kinds of things, I think will become more common, not will become, but are becoming a more common issue. Carl did make reference to his friend Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option, and of course that gives rise to discussions about how does the church and how do individual Christians respond to the culture in which we live, and that's a real challenge. But I would say what I mentioned earlier when I asked Dr. Truman the question about, you know, the psychologizing of the self, which it sounds almost redundant to say that, so that the LGBTQ plus community, people involved in that, for them, their identity is tied to their sexual orientation. The church is going to have to address some of the key issues that Dr. Truman has raised in his book. Now, the book is not an apologetics book, and he does state his own views, and he does make comments throughout the text and the footnotes as to where he thinks things are awry. However, it is a what I would call a source book. It is a history and a description of the various tributaries that have fed into the river, if you want to call it that, of the ocean, of the LGBTQ community. And behind that, of course, is the rise and the triumph of the modern self, so that the self is no longer constrained either by social circumstances, who we're dependent upon, who we interact with, but the self is my emotions, what I like and what I dislike, things like that. So there's a you've heard the expression snowflake as a description for the young people on university and college campuses who react to having conservative speakers in particular come to their university campus, and they have riots and two things in the American context. In fact,
could you bring up those two things when we come back from our midway break?
Sure.
I can't believe the time just flew by so fast, but we have to go to our midway break. Please be patient with us. It's a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio in 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of our show because they are required by the FCC to localize this program geographically to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements and other local announcements and things that they air during the midway break, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please be patient with us. Use this time to write down the information that our advertisers provide so that you can respond to those advertisers. And also write down questions for Jeff Waddington, who chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please do not forget, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital advertiser on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Without their continued advertising and the finances that come from that, we would likely have to go off the air unless there was some sort of financial miracle of God that occurred after that. We depend on them for our existence. So please, if you truly love this program, thank solid-ground-books.com for sponsoring it by purchasing from them frequently and generously at solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I want you to keep something in mind, folks. I know I say this a lot, but it bears repeating. When you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you're not only going to be doing them a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping an advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself an enormous favor, and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com, because they carry the absolute finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. So you can never go wrong purchasing anything from solid-ground-books.com. So please continue to do so. And by the way, I want to thank all of you who have been purchasing books. Mike Gadosh, the founder of solid-ground-books.com, has frequently told me how thrilled he is and how grateful he is that so many of you purchase books from him on a regular basis, and specifically inform him that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is the source where they discovered solid-ground-books.com. So please keep that up. I thank you so much for doing that. And for those of you who have not yet purchased from them, please go there today. solid-ground-books.com. A true treasure trove of Christian literature awaits you at that website, solid-ground-books.com. Before I return to my discussion with Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, I just have a couple of announcements to make. First of all, you've been hearing the ads for the G3 conference coming up in Atlanta, Georgia, September 30th through October 2nd. And I am so excited about going there. Again, this will be my fourth year in a row attending the G3 conference, where I'll be manning another Iron Sharpens Iron Radio exhibitors booth, which has always proved to be a phenomenal experience for me personally and for my program. But I do want you to pray specifically for one of the speakers on the roster who you hear being announced every day. That's Dr. Vodi Balcom. Vodi Balcom, as many of you have heard, especially if you love and admire him and gain much from his ministry, Vodi has had serious heart problems, as well as other heart, as well as other health problems. But he is going to now require bypass surgery. He is here in the United States for that. He left his new home in Zambia, Africa, to return to the United States to have his health needs attended to. So please pray for this dear brother and the surgeons that are going to be operating on him, and also just for all of those healthcare workers who will be caring for him at this time. Be with his family as well. And I know that my guest, Dr. Jeff Waddington, greatly admires Vodi Balcom as well, don't you, brother?
I do. Yes, I do. In fact, I had the privilege of seeing him at Lancaster Bible College a few months back. And he's one of those voices in the church who is speaking to some of these issues that we're talking about in this episode. So he's definitely needs your prayers, because we want to see him continue to do his work, both of course in Africa, but here in the States as well.
Amen. So please pray for Vodi Balcom and his family. Also, folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you, now more than ever before, to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And you can also, if you prefer snail mail, if you prefer the old-fashioned way of mailing things via the United States Postal Service, which has been of late a nightmare, by the way, taking much longer to get things into my mailbox than they normally would have because of this coronavirus pandemic hysteria. But if you prefer that, a physical address will appear on your screen where you can mail a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Also, if you want to advertise with us, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, as long as whatever it is you desire to promote is compatible with what I believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. And send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Last but not least, folks, I hope that none of you are siphoning money away from your regular giving to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't, in other words, punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. As much as we need your money, we don't want you doing that, and we don't want you also putting yourself in further financial peril if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet. Those two things are commands of Scripture, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my show is not, obviously, a command of Scripture, but if you do love the show and you have been blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money that you have in savings, you have extra money that you use for recreational purposes, trivial purposes, pocket money, well, please help us with some of that money if indeed you love the show and don't want us to disappear. We are in bad shape right now financially, worse than we have been in months. I know that my appeals to you for financial help are always urgent. This is even more urgent. We don't know where our money is coming from for our May rent yet. We don't know where our money is coming from to pay for a large portion of our internet bill, which we need to live stream this show. So we are in one of those positions again where things are looking scary, and I have to constantly remind ourselves, or myself, that Jesus Christ said, be anxious for nothing. But I can tell you that these are scary times. So please help us if you love the show. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate. Now, donate as frequently as you can and as generously as you can. I thank all of you who have been doing that. Not only those of you who have been doing it for months, even years, going back to when we first launched in 2005, but also those who are new-time or first-time contributors. I thank all of you from the depths of my heart. And if you've never given before but love the show, please search your heart, search your bank account, and if you can bless us financially and you want us to stick around, please do it at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, I want you to be aware, if you are without a church home, I have lists, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth. And I can help you find a church, possibly, very likely, I can help you find a church near where you live, no matter where on the globe you live. I have helped people all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within a minute's drive from their own home that they didn't know existed, or they didn't know were biblically sound churches, even though they pass them every day. So I'm asking you folks to please, if you are without a biblically sound church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, I need a church in the subject line. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. I need a church in the subject line. It's also the email address where you could send in a question for my guest today for the remaining 90 minutes of the show, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington. And he is the pastor of Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, author, conference speaker, vice president of the board of directors for the Reform Forum, and articles editor for the Confessional Presbyterian Journal. We are continuing our discussion on Dr. Carl Truman's book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, Cultural Amnesia, Expressive Individualism, and the Road to Sexual Evolution. Dr. Truman, if you just tuned us in, Dr. Truman was on with us for the first 30 minutes, but he had other previous engagements that he had to take care of. So now we have Dr. Waddington, a friend of his and mine, who is thoroughly knowledgeable of the contents of this book, carrying on a conversation on the theme. And right before the break, the midway break, Dr. Waddington, you were about to address two critical aspects to the snowflake generation. And those folks, I'd be shocked if you didn't hear that term, if you watch TV and listen to the radio and around the internet at all, if you've not heard that term, that is basically a pejorative term, I think an accurate description of some of these activists who act like delicate little snowflakes and act as if their skin is so thin that they can barely tolerate the slightest offense in words spoken by those who disagree with their worldview and ideology. And to tell you the truth, Dr. Waddington, I don't believe 99.999999% of these people that claim they are offended at all. That's just a way to bolster up their image of being victims.
Yes, that's of course a very strong possibility. And related to that, now Dr. Truman does actually address the use of that expression, snowflake, so that's probably a little too pejorative in the sense that there are deep issues. The emotivist, expressivist mentality of our day, and of course he points out that we, all of us, to a certain extent, share that insofar as we're not yet completely sanctified. It's the world we inhabit. But the two issues that actually relate to that phenomenon of the so-called snowflake phenomenon, the lack of ability to hear alternative viewpoints. Some of what's happening is what has been the case on university and college campuses for quite some time is now spilling out into the wider culture and infiltrating politics. So two things here in the United States, at least, that will be suffering as a result of that, the rise of erotic freedom. I think that's the expression that Dr. Al Mohler, president of Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, he points out that the First Amendment rights of freedom of speech and freedom of religion will be steamrolled by erotic freedom. And of course, he often points back to the 2015 Supreme Court decision of Obergefell versus Hodges, where it was discovered, lo and behold, like a rabbit pulled out of a magician's top hat, that the Constitution actually recognized the right to gay marriage. So those two, I would say, bedrock freedoms, which, remember, are not granted by the Constitution. They are recognized by the Constitution as two rights that the government is to uphold and protect. And yet we live in a world where that seems to be falling by the wayside rather quickly. And we've already mentioned in passing, of course, the rapidity with which our culture is going down the drain. How long will this last? Well, only the Lord knows. Will there be a reprieve? Will the rise and triumph of the modern self, will that be the undoing of the United States and other nations around, especially the Western world? That's a good question, and I'm neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, and I don't make a prophet, so I wouldn't want to hazard a guess, but if you were asking me what do I suspect, well, the bad case would be that our culture will crash and burn, and that may be what it would take to reverse what Dr. Truman describes in the book. So those are two, and of course these are rights granted by God, and therefore they're not limited to Americans, but they're two rights that our Constitution does safeguard. And so we want to, and of course, you know, these do impinge upon the right of the church to gather. Because remember, one of the First Amendment rights is the freedom to assemble. And so we want to be on the lookout for the right to, for the church to be the church, to gather for worship, to proclaim the gospel in its fullness. We want to be able to witness to that out in the world, not just inside the four walls of our church. So that, those would be two things that appear to be, getting forsaken in our culture. They're no longer held in high regard. As you can imagine, if you don't, if you, embrace or embody, or that's an odd word to use, if you exemplify this, emotivist, expressivist self, and that means that if I'm not allowed to be what I think I am, or feel that I am, that I'm being oppressed, and the mere expression of alternative viewpoints is a form of oppression. And remember, that's a key element in this whole thing, is that oppression is not merely the physical thing where you're thrown in jail or you're physically harmed, but if you are emotionally set upon, and anybody that expresses a viewpoint different than yours is therefore an oppressor by definition. And you can see how that would not mesh well with freedom of speech and freedom of religion, because of course part of the preaching of the gospel is to have to share the bad news before we can share the good news of God's grace in Christ.
We have an anonymous listener who says, I'm having conflict with people in my own congregation over an issue that has seemed to grown wild in the PCA and other formerly pristine denominations and fellowships. That is the acceptance of people who in their thought and desires label themselves as gay or homosexual, and they think that this is acceptable as a Bible-believing Christian because they remain chaste and do not consummate these thoughts and desires in physical activity. But this is really just as sinful in some cases as allowing yourself to physically participate, is it not? After all, Jesus said, even if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery already, so why would it be any different for a homosexual?
That is correct, and that's getting into a debate, I think, that arose in the context of the Revoice conference that was already mentioned by Dr. Truman, and that is that people, there are certain actually fairly well-known authors who try to argue that gay or homosexual or lesbian or transgendered emotions or affections or inclinations are not sinful in themselves. And I think the scriptures make it clear, as the questioner points out, that any desire that would, if followed through, end in sin is itself sinful. Just as we have righteous and holy desires that result in worship and obedience to Christ's word. So it is not the case, and here I stand with those who will argue that, and this is, some of this of course comes from my own studies of Jonathan Edwards, who would say that your affections are either good or they are wicked, and a homosexual or lesbian or transgender desire is, by definition, sin. So it's one thing just to recognize that there's some Christians wrestle with same-sex attraction. it's quite another to tell them that that attraction is okay, because it's not any more than the other sinful attraction or affection is good.
Now, one of the things about that, and I have to be very careful how I phrase my words so I'm not misunderstood, it bothers me when many conservative Bible-believing Christians, even those that would agree with us on most matters involving theology, it bothers me when the inappropriate sexual desire for somebody of the opposite sex is totally made equivalent to a same-sex desire or lust. Well, they both may be sinful when you're actually desiring someone of the opposite sex that is not your spouse, or you're desiring them and intend to marry them, but you don't let your thoughts travel into lust and sexual sin. Obviously, there's an attraction that occurs to people,
yeah,
with people, among people that are become engaged and become married. but the homosexual version of that is never a good thing, and it is an unnatural sign of something more deeply evil going on. I mean,
yeah, that's correct, Chris. And you're actually touching upon a point that is part of that other conversation about our homosexual inclinations in themselves sinful. And that is that there is no one argument has been made that a Christian who has same-sex struggles with same-sex attractions has an aesthetic sense ability that can be beneficial. And this actually gets into one of the elements that Dr. Truman deals with. One of the things that, we all see this, and that is our aesthetic sensibilities, the things regarding beauty, what we consider to be beautiful, that also rules and reigns in our culture. So that's tied in with the emotivist, expressivist self. In other words, what I happen to think is beautiful, you must agree with me that is beautiful, and you must celebrate my belief, right? We see that. Yeah, it is the case that homosexual desires, lesbian desires, and there's a whole discussion in Dr. Truman's book in how lesbians don't always like to be lumped in with male homosexuals for various and sundry reasons. That actually makes some sense. But the whole idea that there's an equation between sexual attraction of a heterosexual kind and sexual attraction of a homosexual kind, they're not equal.
Right, because it's not heterosexual attraction, as long as it's not abused and misused.
Right.
It is a
right.
gift of God, isn't it?
Correct. Yes, you're dealing with something that is according to nature, to use the language of the Apostle Paul in Romans, right? And then the other is not according to nature, according to Paul in Romans chapter 1 in particular, where he gives homosexuality and lesbianism as examples of God's judgment. And we talked about that in our series on Romans, that what we're seeing in this country and in other countries around the world, not just the Western world, but around the world, quite literally, we are being engulfed in a culture that is glorifying what is in fact sinful, and that this is an indication that God's judgment may already be resting upon us. Not only does homosexual and lesbian and transgender affections, not only do these things bring about God's judgment, but they are also an indication of God's judgment, which is a, you know, it's sh- sheds a slightly different light on the whole question. But yeah, definitely these are not the heterosexual attraction isn't sinful in and of itself. It can become sinful, right? Because as you've said, but through lust and the like, but it isn't in itself sinful, whereas homosexual, lesbian, transgender attraction is, by definition, sinful.
And it's an abomination, is it not, that we have that we have men and women, I think I've predominantly heard this from men, who are even theologically on the money with other matters of faith and scripture, who will actually identify themselves as gay celibate Christians.
Yes. There are a few writers out there who would fit the bill.
Now, isn't that a denial of God's power to transform and rescue?
Ultimately, yeah, because they're saying that this is not something that can ever be changed in this life. But they're also the Satan, of course, is very sneaky, and sin can weasel its way. The roots of sin can grow long and deep, in anything, almost any human thing, act, thought, or word. And we see this with the whole idea of this aesthetic sense that the gay man or the lesbian woman may have, that heterosexuals just can't participate in, can't identify with. And of course that lands you right into that whole thing of a standpoint epistemology, which is connected with the critical theory and the whole social justice or woke movement. So that all of that is related. You know, all of these things have separate histories, but they've suddenly, or not suddenly, over time, they've converged. One of the benefits of Dr. Truman's book is that we discover that this storm has been 300-400 years in the making. If you use, actually it goes back to the Garden of Eden, but in recent history, going back to Rousseau, the French, or the Swiss, philosopher who argued that it is culture that taints an individual human being. Human beings are by nature good, and in the state of nature, whatever that was or is, we are good, and we're corrupted by culture. It begs the question: well, where in the joined together of various individual people does this so-called cultural corruption arise? That's a question, I suppose, for another day. We are being hit on every side. The church is. Christians are in the culture. And so that calls for, extra prayer on our part to maintain our sanctification. We have to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, which of course is impossible in ourselves, but everything is possible with our Lord. And so that is to say that there's also the whole question of why would you go around identifying yourself as a gay Christian? I mean, do those who struggle with overeating, do they call themselves obese Christians? Do you have those who struggle with stealing? Do you say I'm a thief Christian? No, we don't do that, because those are the things we are to put off. Right? Those are the things we are to put to death. Those ought not to be the things by which we describe ourselves, which is what's happening in this movement. And of course, a lot of it is complicated by the cultural moment in which we live. And of course, course, we could wish we lived in a different age. We might want to wish ourselves back to the days of Leave It to Beaver, and the Father Knows Best, but that isn't the time period that we are living in. And God has his reasons for placing us in this particular place and time.
I'm going to read a question to you before we go to our final break, and I'll have you answer the question when you return. We have a Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, who asks, I recall some previous interviews with you, Dr. Waddington, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, where you had mentioned that you were formerly in the Salvation Army denomination, which ordains women. My question is, historically, have denominations that have made it an official policy to ordain women into the ministry always subsequently fallen into viewing homosexuality in a favorable or at least a tolerable manner, since the hermeneutic seems to be very identical? We'll have you answer that, Dr. Waddington, when we come back from the break. This is our final break, and it'll be a lot faster than the others. If you intend to send in a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Fellowship with one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vodi Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnson and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Fellowshipping with us.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary.
I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hello, Dr. Waddington. So our listener in Eastern Suffolk County, Ronald, wanted to know, from your experience formerly being involved in ministry in the Salvation Army, has their hermeneutic that permitted them to ordain women into ministry at all made them subsequently make the same allowance for homosexuality? And to your knowledge, is that atypical, or is it always the result of that hermeneutic of allowing women into ministry?
Well, that's a very perceptive question I wanted to note at the start. I haven't done a scientific study, you know, on this issue, but from my own experience, I've not kept up with, you know, the positions taken by the Salvation Army on this issue, but I suspect I know that the hermeneutic to allow for female ordination is that's basically the same hermeneutic that would allow for the ordination of practicing homosexuals. That could be a serious problem. I don't know personally of any instances where that has happened in the Salvation Army, but it would be a concern of mine. Years ago I was involved with a church planting Bible study for the OPC, and we were, all of the people who were involved in that had come from mainline churches where the gay ordination was the roiling issue. And I mentioned but they all of them had no problem with female ordination. And I said, you know, it's the same logic. It's the same interpretive principle that allows for one as allows for the other. And they weren't too happy with me when I pointed out. As you might imagine.
Yeah, well, there are. We have to admit very quickly that there are still conservative Bible-believing denominations and churches that ordain women that still oppose all forms
yes.
of sexual
correct.
Perversion and sex outside
correct.
Of
correct.
Sex outside
so it's not,
of monogamous.
It's not a guarantee.
Right.
We're just saying that if they were going to go to their logical, if they were going to
right.
allow their critical principles to go to their logical conclusion, they would have to accept the one with the other.
Right. Like I know that here in Pennsylvania, a very prominent denomination is the Church of God General Assembly, which is based in Findlay, Ohio. They are basically, for lack of a better term or lack of a better description, Wesleyan Baptists. And they ordain women, but they are still very opposed to homosexuality and all forms of sex outside of a monogamous marriage between a man and a woman. And there are also, obviously, Pentecostal groups that ordain women and still oppose homosexuality. And even
yeah.
even in our circles, the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church would be one that ordains women. We would be opposed to that very much, but they are still opposing homosexuality as well with just as much fervency as we do. In fact, Sinclair Ferguson was a pastor in that denomination when he was still in
yeah.
the United States.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a guarantee that approving of female ordination will lead them. It's just we're pointing out that the logic, that the principles of reading God's word in the one case are virtually the same as in the other, because you're disregarding what is clear teaching of God's word. In one case, you can just as easily disregard the teaching of God's word in another case.
We have Grady, a very loyal listener and financial supporter of this program in Asheboro, North Carolina, who says, if the current United States administration passes the Equality Act, do you see those of us that proclaim the gospel being imprisoned? And do you cover? Does Dr. Truman cover this in his book?
Not directly, no. To answer your question, I can't see how it would be otherwise if the Equality Act is passed and made law, because there's no way we could be biblical and satisfy that law. The law is available online, and people can go, the bill, I should say, is online, the act, and you can go look at it. It doesn't make for exciting reading. It's what it's doing is, I believe, taking Title 9, is it, of the Civil Rights Act, and it's adding gender discrimination as one of the things that, one of the protected classes. Those who have been discriminated against, so the LGBTQ plus movement.
By the way, I have to quickly interject here
sure.
that the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church in Canada does not, thankfully, ordain women as the United States wing of that denomination does.
Interesting. Okay, so there's a difference on the two sides. The Equality Act is bad news for biblical Christians all around, but as Dr. Truman reminded us, God's promises to his church is that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so at the end of the day, we know how the story ends. That doesn't mean that experiencing the individual chapters will be particularly enjoyable. But if that does become law, you can bet your bottom dollar that there'll be a thinning of the ranks.
And we're out of time, brother, and I want to make sure our yep. listeners have your website. It's faithopc.net, FAITHOPC.net. And for those of my listeners interested in the Reformed Forum, go to reformedforum.org, reformedforum.org. Thank you so much, Dr. Waddington, for being such a superb guest. And shout out again to our first guest, Dr. Carl Truman. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.